All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here in verses 26 through 28, Genesis 24. Looking at the effect of God answering the servant's prayer with respect to helping him identify who Isaac's right number is to be, as well as fulfilling Abraham's desires and instructions, the fact that her lineage was from his clan. All this, God answered the prayer, the self-created character test that he placed in regards to certain qualities and virtues that she must possess, as well as the identifying of her family being from Bethuel, Abraham's nephew. This brings about a moment of overwhelming, if you will, gratitude as he spontaneously worships God. His mental attitude is one of devotion and loyalty and respect, if you will, almost in awe, in regards to such a pronounced answer to his prayer, if you will, in a miraculous way, for Rebekah to be on the scene and God showing him this is the direction he is supposed to go in this respect. And this truly the aspect of God showing his hand in regards to his continued loyalty to Abraham, as well as to the servant in and of himself, for their application of Bible doctrine with respect to the situation. That's what brings about the real joy. Obviously, the rest of the supernatural aspects of it is basically icing on the cake. And obviously, this servant is definitely in tune in regards to God's plan, and he overtly demonstrates his thankfulness now in front of Rebekah, and she gets to see a spiritual side of this stranger that was obviously previously foreign to her otherwise in this regards. Even though she offered and did take care of him and his camels in regards to making sure everybody had ample water and letting him know that there would be room in the inn, so to speak, at their house if he needed a place to stay, obviously contingent upon approval by her family otherwise in that regards. So, here in the situation where we left off, we have Rebekah now watching the servant worship God with a doxology, a worship of praise. Blessed be is the terminology used in the Hebrew. We might say to God the glory. That's the idea. He is giving God the glory for his hand in this whole situation of being the creator and the orchestrator of human history and bringing about the things on behalf of especially the benefit of those who are his and loyal to his person in this regards. But she sees the spiritual side. All she knows, she was down just doing her thing, taking care of her responsibilities under the authority of her father in her household, coming in to draw water, just going along. She's at the age to be married. She's not out pursuing any opposite number in this regard. She's just doing her thing. And lo and behold, here's this stranger that enters into her life, and she is clueless in regards to that which is getting ready to happen to her. She's just going along, and little does she know that this whole event, her application in regards to this stranger And we're told make sure that we are hospitable to even to strangers. And you never know who you may be entertaining. It could be an angel, you know, et cetera. Here she's making this application. And this has set her on the path of bringing her to her right man, whom she does not have any idea who that's going to be. And in fact, she has never seen him. She puts her faith, obviously, where it belongs. And lets, if you will, the tide turn according to divine providence in regards to who that the right opposite number is. And she remains clueless, she is now drawing closer to the events coming to fruition and being exposed for exactly why this stranger's here and what this will entail and how this will result. And point 23, page 30 of our notes, her toil and duty and integrity and character. The two aspects, her responsibility of application, and then her integrity in regards to reflection of hospitality, compassion, etc., is fast being replaced now with a sense of suspense and excitement. And you can imagine, she offered this, and all of a sudden this stranger just falls down and starts worshiping God. You go, oh man, what is going on her part? See, what's going on with this? And this definitely probably has your attention. This guy is not your normal everyday Joe that you run across. Yeah. The Agent 007 of the believer race that keeps everything hidden. Now, he reflects and manifests his belief and his faith. And he does it right there in front of her. Then, as I pointed out, this is audible. His initial prayer was silent to himself. This praise, this form of worship, act of worship, is audible so that she can hear all this. So now we're looking at we'll look at the content in regards to the doxology of worship. Point 24, the servant blesses the one, gives God the glory, if you will, that first and foremost is the supreme authority over his master Abraham. Adonai or Adon Abraham. That's verse 27a. He first gives God the glory, gives him the praise. And he recognizes, obviously, that while he has an authority in life, his authority has an authority in life. Nobody is without an authority in life. Even the highest authority on the planet will always have the authority of God over them, whether they recognize him as such or not. And he looks to the highest of authorities, who obviously his master, his boss, his authority in life, is acclimated to and oriented to and follows and adheres to in submission and obedience in his own life. You know what they usually say that goes downhill? Well, here, in this case, blessing's what goes downhill. From God to Abraham to the servant. He picks up in regards to Abraham's life. Abraham's witness to him obviously has direct impact on him. And his positive volition benefits from that. So he first blesses the one that first and foremost is the supreme authority over his master Abraham. Blessed be Yahweh. 25, he then praises Yahweh on behalf of himself. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brother. That's verse 27c. The latter part of the verse. So he first honors Yahweh, obviously, and his authority, Abraham, and then he praises Yahweh on behalf of himself. 26. Now the sequence of the persons as a reason for praise. First Abraham and then himself, me, Enoki in the Hebrew, further illustrates the servant's spiritual orientation. It really brings about the priorities that is seen and manifested by this servant. The spiritual priorities, the highest priority on the docket is application of Bible doctrine on behalf of the covenant. Well, that's the most simplistic way to put it. Obviously, the covenant represented through his master Abraham. So the sequence of recognition or acknowledgement in praise, first Abraham and then himself, illustrates his spiritual orientation. 27, he mentions Abraham first, as he was the authority that God placed in the servant's life to provide the example of blessing by God. As we saw back in, all the way back in verse 1, the narrator tells us that God had blessed Abraham in everything. So obviously, this servant is privy to all this. This servant's been around some 50 years in the household, if it's Eliezer. And he has witnessed God working in Abraham's life and the impact and result in this respect. And for whatever reason, he has ended up in Abraham's household as one of his servants, whether he was born from another servant or whatever. Now, we're not told that. We just know that God put him there. Somehow, he ended up there. God put him there. This man had positive volition, and it's for a very good reason. He had an adjusted communicator, a prophet, that was the head of his household. Under this dispensational reality, whereas the head of the household, obviously, was also the spiritual authority in regards to the household in that respect. A communicator of Bible doctrine, etc. So, he gives praise first in regards to Abraham, an acknowledgement of him because he recognizes that he was the one that God put in his life to bless him in regards to his positive volition. See? And he obviously is an example of blessing in that respect. Overtly, all the wealth that he has, but also other aspects that we have seen, his success in regards to fighting the armies and rescuing his nephew, the miracle of his prodigy son, Isaac, being born, and all these other things. 28, in turn, the servant's positive volition found basis for both enlightenment and application in his own life. God puts the right people at the right place at the right time. That's the easiest way to say it. And positive volition, he will take care of, and he will make sure that they have the appropriate authority over them in regards to their lives to ensure their positive volition is taken care of and seen to with respect to the truth. And obviously, when you look at Abraham and you look at it in this light, you look at him and that he is a communicator of Bible doctrine, as well as his master, owner of this individual. So, because of Abraham's volition, Abraham's orientation, plan of God, communication of it, example and application, the servant also draws from this. He benefits from this. He's enlightened in regards to doctrine, in regards to having discernment and application of the doctrine. Eliezer was set up to be an adopted heir in Abraham's mind. This is how close this guy is to Abraham. And in fact, he's in charge of everything in his house. One of those kind of people that, as a boss, you love to have employees like this that you can turn to. And you can say whatever you need to have done, and you know it's going to get done. to an individual that works with you. See. Second in command type of deal. So, based on blessing by association, here we are again, blessing by association. The servant obviously is enlightened. And we see how well enlightened he's been in regards to the content of his prayers and his whole approach in regards to this thing. The honor that he is given, the privilege of this oath and responsibility and mission that's been placed upon his head. Man, Abraham's saying he has a lot of trust in this guy. That's about as much honor as you can give to a servant. Go find my son, his right woman. Not just any woman. Not just the model down the runway that everybody else is salivating all over because of their appearance. No, God's woman for him. That's a right woman. That's a right opposite number. God's opposite number for you, see. So, and here he is. He's off and he's doing his thing, and God has just validated him like you wouldn't believe in regards to all that is there. And he recognizes where all this comes from in that respect. And it begins, obviously, with Yahweh. That's where it begins. But then it comes down the pike through his authority in life that he serves and operates under logistically and physically in that respect. So 29, through the prayer of the servant's, through the answer of the servant's prayer, God continues to validate for the servant that the authority he follows still has God's approbation and approval. The intercessory part of the prayer was to show chesed to my master Abraham. To show for God to give evidence of God's loyalty. God continued to embrace Abraham for who and what he was. See. His divine love as expressed towards Abraham. And the first part of the prayer in praise and giving God glory is that God validated that for him. It shows that God is still operating on behalf of Abraham in his positive volition. He is still blessing him in everything. He has God's approbation. The world is filled with people seeking approbation of others. See. But one approbation you should seek for is God's approbation. That's sanctified. Approbation otherwise is sinful. Under the SGA, we want God's approbation and have God's approval. God validating us. And the only way, generally, most of the way, how we know God validates us is through application of Bible doctrine and watching the success occur in regards to our applications. Doesn't mean that there's not testing that's thrown in the midst of it all. Servant had his test. He's at a complete loss to begin with. In regards to, apart from what following the doctrine, if you will, that Abraham gave him to go to his relatives and find me someone out of the believing genre of human beings rather than these pagan religious idolaters that surrounds me. He could be living in Babylon today almost from the sounds of it, see. You're not going to find your right opposite number out in the cosmos, generally speaking. But God knows where they're at. I'm not saying that he can't bring positive volition in otherwise. So through the answer of the servant's prayer, God continues to validate for the servant that the authority he follows still has God's approbation and approval. 30, this is related to in principle, in verse 27b, who is not forsaking his kesed, his loyal love or loving kindness, and his truth toward my master. Asher lo azav kesed wow ameth min en adon. 31, for the subordinate to see experientially that God has not abandoned his loyal love, his kesed, towards his spiritual authority in life, brought further confidence and thus plus H into his thinking. The one that you look to spiritually to provide you guidance, direction spiritually in life. And you see God working in his life and validating him through circumstances, situations, delivering him from tests, or whatever else. That is designed to bring about confidence for yourself and for your own person, as it is with anybody around you that's on doctrine, and you see God working in their lives. That's designed to give us each confidence that God is operating on behalf of all of us, see, in that respect. But as it goes towards the authority, obviously, especially. While the answered prayer was experiential evidence of God's kesed, his loyal love, the catalyst making the answered prayer possible was God's, quote, truth, ameth, imparted to Abraham. That's what made the kesed possible, that brought about the kesed in manifestation towards Abraham, was truth. That's Bible doctrine. 33, Abraham's wisdom as to where to go and from whose lineage to search for Isaac's right woman has been vindicated. Abraham knew what the hell he was talking about. Stay away from the Canaanites. You go here. And I guarantee you, his authority had that type of authoritative expression in regards to taking an oath from Abraham. And that's part of the spiritual authority's responsibility, is to give guidance and directions and instructions to those who are under his charge in that respect. The communicator may actually know what the hell he's talking about. But, you know, as it is, a lot of people want to always second guess that. They know better. Okay. But this guy, you don't see him in that type of vein. You don't see that type of attitude from one who isn't a subordinate to another in a spiritual world of reality. No, he places his trust in God, that God has placed in front of him, his right, spiritual authority, and authority otherwise in life. And he looks to that. But obviously, as you go through, you want continued validation in regards to, the man knows what he's doing. He's still doing his job. He is still on God's good terms. See. Of course, how that is seen today is generally through the teaching of Bible doctrine, the purity of it, in regards to the communicator or the pastor. And obviously, applications with respect to his own life in that respect. So, just one of those little tidbits that comes out here. It is truth that is the catalyst behind it all. So, how did Abraham know where to send him? He just put two and two together, doctrinally speaking. Leave those be yachts alone. Go here. See. I don't know if there's a Hebrew word for that or not. If there was, I'd use it. 34, the truth of Bible doctrine was reflected in Abraham's instructions on the importance of God's geographical will and the doctrine of separation. the two primary doctrines that Abraham employed, and he insisted that would be applied in regards to finding Isaac's right number. It must center on God's geographical will. That means the woman's got to come back to Canaan. In the doctrine of separation, stay away from the Canaanite women, and don't you ever even think about taking Isaac away from his NPR. See? All the other rationale that goes on out in this world. That's all they've ever known. And they've only gone to a doctrinal church. They need to go out there in the world and widen their perspective religiously. You bunch of idiots. I guess Abraham failed Isaac miserably. See, you hear that kind of stuff, you just kind of... I won't say it. Even though I just thought it, God can field that one. Field it. So the truth of Bible doctrine is reflected in Abraham's instructions on the importance of God's geographical will and the doctrine of separation. That's your two primary doctrines that are illustrated in regards to the instructions given to the servant. 35, it is the servant's orientation and obedience and application to Abraham's instructions that in turn was a catalyst for his own success. And Yahweh's guidance, our term has guided Nakah for himself personally. Because he followed Abraham's instructions, he ended up at Haran. And albeit at a perfect time, at a perfect place at the well in the evening, Rebecca pops on the scene. See, that's how it works. I give you the doctrine, you go apply it. But you must be oriented. And then you must obey, apply the doctrine for the divine guidance to have its impact in your life. If you're omitting that, if you're dismissing the applications, then don't sit there and question why aren't things happening the way I think they should happen. And that demands being on top of our spiritual ball game at all times. You get off in any area doctrinally. You start rationalizing, compromising in any area doctrinally. It can have, obviously, a domino effect in regards to other things in your life, as it may come to blessing and things of this nature, or divine discipline or other aspects. Anyway. So it is a servant's orientation, point 35 again, in obedience and application to Abraham's instructions that in turn was a catalyst for his own success and Yahweh's guidance for himself personally. 36, it was his recognition of the power of Bible doctrine in his own life, the servant's, made possible by his devotion to Abraham that overwhelms him inside in his prayer of praise and worship. He was right. Go to my relatives. She's there. God will lead you. He will guide you and show you the right person. Took the doctrine. He applied it. Put himself in the right position, the right place. He shoots up his own prayers for guidance, for additional wisdom. And God was not stingy. Bam. There she is. See? So, yeah, it doesn't always work this way. I understand. But in this case, it did. And it's a great example that God honors and respects the loyalty of those who have the service to the spiritual authorities that he places in their lives in this respect. See. If it was a such necessity in regards to one's own life, I guarantee you it would happen this way. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, prove me wrong. One of those kind of arguments, huh? Excuse me. So it's this recognition of the power of doctrine that his own positive volition has brought about an orientation to God's plan, an orientation to His spiritual authority that overwhelms him, as I stated earlier. It's the doctrine that incites this unbelievable praise and gratitude that comes from him. So 37, after seeing and hearing the servants worship, then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. The Hebrew Rutsna Ara, young woman, Wal Nagad, Lamed Bayeth, En Kaf Adabar Ella. 38, she would know who Abraham was, or at least suspected the connection, as he states, "I am under the authority of Abraham." 39, now though Rebekah's mother is not named, she is given the distinction of the home's matriarch here. Generally, under the authoritative structure, you would say she went to her father's house. Now, if her father is dead, you might understand why they may say mother. But her father's not dead. Later verses tells us that he's there, Bethuel, in that regard. So you have this kind of anomaly here in regards to calling her home being her mother's household. The servant asked, "To your father's house earlier." So why is this? I'll try to answer that. 40, this implies that she dominated the household, exposing the weak link spiritually as to Rebecca's family. It kind of fits the mold here. 41, this may be a hint as from where Rebecca's, quote, take charge, end quote, nature came. That's the way you see it a lot of times in homes, that there is a waning spiritually. In regards to the household and of itself, is a passive of authority. And the wife dominates everything, takes charge. And we saw Rebecca, "I'll do those camels for you." Yeah. Well, she's been hanging out with her mom, man. She's been watching this. And it kind of, you can almost see that overlap in that regards. And then we'll see it in regards to Jacob and Esau. That part of her personality is going to come out again. "All right, here's what we're going to do." To Jacob. But anyway, we'll pull the wool over the old man's eyes. Literally, almost. 42, the next step in her spiritual advance will be whether or not she will be willing to acclimate in submission to a new authority in life, adhering to the prescribed geographical will of God. The question for her now is she going to be willing to leave and go to her NPR geographically in that respect and hook up with who God has in store for her. All right. Our next section, we begin scene 3 of the setting here in the chapter. And that scene is persuading Rebecca's family, which encompasses verses 29 through 60. And it begins here in verses 29 through 32 with the man, the servant, meeting Laban. Laban comes on the scene. Let's take a look here at the language. Now, Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban. The wow conjunction, preposition lamed, followed with the proper noun, Rebecca. Brother is the common masculine singular noun absolute, ach, in the Hebrew. A-C-H. and his name was Laban, literally, vowel conjunction, our noun for name, common masculine singular, subject, third masculine singular, suffix, Shem. Our proper noun, Laban, transliterated, it means white. And Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. The first thing that should grab the student's attention, why does the narrator tell us this right off the bat? When in the next verse, he makes it clear that he doesn't actually run out there until after he sees his sister and listens to the entire story first. That's a clue. While consecutive, our verb to run, family loves to run, don't they? Our Cal imperfect third masculine singular roots, R-U-T-S, or ruts. Laban, proper noun. To the man, definite article, our noun for man, common masculine singular absolute, ish, I-S-H. Outside is your definite article with the common masculine singular noun construct, kutz, C-U-C-H-U-T-S, at the spring or to the spring, preposition L, E-L, definite article, then our word literally I, looking at the reflective water, spring, common, both singular, absolute noun, I-N, A-Y-I-N. Verse 30, and it came about that when or after he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist. While consecutive, to come about is your Cal imperfect third masculine singular, Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. When or after is your preposition kaf. After, I think, is a more accurate translation to give you the sense of what's going on here, K-A-P-H. Or simply that letter in Hebrew. Seen is your Cal infinitive construct, ra'ah, visually looking at and inspecting it, R-A-A-H. Sign of direct object, definite article, common masculine singular noun, absolute, or word for ring, nezem, N-E-Z-E-M. And the bracelets, while conjunction, sign of direct object, definite article, or noun for bracelets, common masculine plural absolute, Tasamid, Tasamid, T-S-A-M-I-Y-D. On the hands or wrists of his sister. Preposition all, A-L. Our common feminine dual noun construct, our word for hands, literally yod. The rest of, on the top of the hand, hence the wrist. Sister is your common feminine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, akoth. A-C-H-O-T-H. And when or after he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, well, conjunction, preposition cough repeated, after when, hearing is the Cal infinitive construct here with the third masculine singular suffix, Shema, after hearing it, literally, S-H-A-M-A. In the singular, after hearing it, and sign a direct object, and then the it is compiled of the plural of our noun for words or matter, common masculine plural construct, dabar, D-A-B-A-R. Rebecca, proper noun, his sister, or coth, repeated, common feminine singular construct with third masculine singular suffix. Saying is the preposition lamed with a Cal infinitive construct amar, A-M-A-R. This is what the man said to me. Adverb. Thus. It's co. I have that on there. He had spoke as a PL, perfect third match, and singer DeBar, K-O-C-H-O, or, no, wait, that would be K-O, transliterate. Actually, K-K-O, there's a dog's forte in that hard consonant there, but anyway. He had spoke as your verb DeBar, translated words earlier. Here, PL, perfect third match and singular, D-A-B-A-R again. To me, the man, literally. To me is a preposition L, E-L, with the first common singular suffix. Follow the definite article and our noun for man, ish, I-S-H, common masculine singular, absolute. He went to the man, that being Laban, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. Wow, consecutive. Followed our cow in perfect third match and singular, to go or went, bow, B-O. And he went, in the Hebrew. To the man, preposition L, followed with our noun, ish, repeated. And behold, wow, conjunction, he had the interjectory particle hinna, H-I-N-N-E-H, exclamatory. Behold, still there. Pretty visual in regards to Laban in this whole situation here. Whew, he's still here, okay. Anyway, that's the idea. He was standing is the cow participle masculine singular absolute verb amad, A-M-A-D. The one standing by the camels, by the springs, literally. Preposition all, A-L. Definite article, common masculine plural noun absolute. Our word for camels, gamal, G-A-M-A-L. By the springs, preposition all repeated. Then our word for I, I-N, A-Y-I-N. Verse 31, he said, come in, blessed of the Lord. Well, consecutive. Verb to say, cow and perfect third match and singer, Amar, A-M-A-R. Come, our verb bow, here is a cow imperative, match and singer, B-O. Blessed of the Lord. Blessed of the Lord is a cow passive participle. Masculine singular, construct our verb barak, B-A-R-A-K. The one having been blessed of Lord Yahweh, proper noun. Why do you stand outside since I have prepared the house and the place for the camels? Interrogative particle lama, L-A-M-A-H. For what reason or why do you stand? Is the cow in perfect second masculine singular again, Ahmad, standing by the camels, same verb, do you stand, A-M-A-D. On the outside, it's preposition bet, follow the definite article, our noun for outside again, kutz, C-H-U-T-S, common masculine singular, absolute. Since or when I have prepared the house. Wow, conjunction. Then followed with the pronoun, personal pronoun, first common singular, Anoki. Here's emphatic, when I myself, like he went to all this effort, this idea, kind of deal. Over ingratiating himself, over the way he's coming off here. Anoki, A-N-O-K-I-Y. Our word to prepare is the PL perfect, first common singular. The verb phana, P-H-A-N-A-H, literally means to turn, hence having prepared it. The house, definite article, followed with the common masculine singular noun, absolute, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H. And a place for the camels, for his livestock here, wow, conjunction. or now for place, common masculine singular absolute, Macomb, M-A-Q-O-M. For the camels is a preposition, Lamed, definite article, or noun, again, Gamal, camels, G-A-M-A-L, common masculine plural absolute. 32, so the man entered the house. While consecutive, so he entered is our verb bo, to go, to come, enter, went, as it context made the man, cow and perfect third masculine singular. The man, ish, the noun, common masculine singular, ish. The house, definite article, baith, repeated, common masculine singular, absolute. And he entered that, the man, the house, earlier in the Hebrew. Then you have then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels. You have the wow consecutive, then the verb PL in perfect third masculine singular, pathach, P-A-T-H-A-C-H. And the PL means to loose or free, hence he unloaded all the stuff that the servant had brought with him and loaded it on the camels, the goods, the valuables, the camels, definite article, gamal, repeated, common masculine plural. And he gave straw and feed. Wow, consecutive, our verb to give, cal and perfect third masculine singular, nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. Our noun for straw or hay is a common masculine singular absolute, tevin, T-E-B-E-N, and, wow, conjunction, then feed or fodder, common masculine singular noun absolute, misipo, M-I-S-E-P-O. To the camels, preposition lama, gamal, repeated with the definite article here, our word for camels, common masculine plural absolute. And water, to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. So now we know that he had other servants with him for sure. And water is a wow conjunction, our noun for water, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M, common masculine plural absolute. To wash is the infinitival phrase, lamed with the cal infinitive construct, rakats, R-A-C-H-A-T-S, for the purpose to wash his feet. Is the common feminine dual construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix or noun for feet, regel, R-E-G-E-L. Then you have the wow conjunction and also the feet of, regel, repeated, common feminine dual construct, of the men with him, literally, definite article, or noun for man, ish, again, here in the plural, I-S-H. Who is your relative pronoun of share, S-H-E-R, and the preposition eth with the third masculine singular suffix with him, E-T-H. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.